This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. For decades, ears have perked up whenever they heard this. Charlie Brown and the Peanuts Gang hold a special place in many hearts. Their youthful innocence has captivated us since the strip began nationally in 1950. But what happens when they grow up and deal with real-life issues like sexual identity, drug use, and suicide? Those are the questions our comic characters face in the play Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead. Snoopy's dead, Linus is a pothead, Charlie Brown is finding out who he really is. The Raleigh Ensemble Players premiered the play earlier this year and sold out for 3 weeks straight. They're bringing it back starting tonight. Joining us in the studio to talk about the play are Gary Williams, Managing Director of the Raleigh Ensemble Players. Brian Burton is an actor who plays the part of Charlie Brown, CB, in the play. And Hilary Ahrens plays his sister. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it, Frank.
Gary, tell us about this. We should make it clear, I guess, that for copyright reasons, we were just talking about that, intellectual property rights, the characters aren't really named directly after the Peanuts characters.
That's correct. This is definitely an unauthorized parody of the piece. Charles Schulz Foundation and the United Syndicate's Features make that clear, and we have to provide information on that on all the printed things. But Charlie Brown becomes CB. CB's sister is always referred to as CB's sister. There's Beethoven, there's Van, Patty, which is actually Trisha, and Marcy. So it's just, you know, they're similar, but part of the fun is during the evening of the audience figuring out who the people are.
Figuring out who they are. And, of course, they do make reference to the strip itself. Give us an overview of the plot, Gary.
Well, it begins with CB writing to his pen pal about finding his dog, who has become rabid, and in a fit of whatever was going on, killed Woodstock, the yellow bird. And it's kind
Snoopy,
of
Snoopy. Let's stop here. a rabid Snoopy kills Woodstock.
His best friend.
His best friend.
Yes.
And it's a bloody mess.
That's true. It is. And it kind of sets CB off on a journey to try and talk about the afterlife and just find out what really is important in life and who he is and things of that nature. And, of course, everyone has different reactions. CB and his sister hold a funeral for the dog, and no one else comes. They're either, you know, busy or not interested. There's all kinds of things. And then the interactions after that.
And there are a number of other transformations in this play. Tell us about some of the key characters and how they are not quite like or how they've grown up since since the strip.
Well, Peppermint Patty and Marcy have become the mean girls. I would say that's the good characterization. Mm-hmm. CB's sister kind of goes through a multitude of identities. She's become goth. And there's a great Lady Gaga outfit, and there's all kinds of things in it, so it's a lot of fun. Matt, who is Pigpen, has become an extreme germaphobe and is very uptight about that. Yes, yes.
This is so perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's really very clever the way Mr. Royal wrote the piece.
Yeah, and he becomes outraged when you remind him of his piggish past.
Oh, very definitely, yes. Yeah. That's whenever the characters want to make him mad, they remind him, you know, where do pigs live? Or whether, you know, things of that nature.
The raging germaphobe can be the star of his own series after this.
That's very true.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Well, Brian, let's get a sense of what it's like to try to embody these characters because they're iconic. We all know who they are, so you're stuck with that. And yet, they're somebody new in this play. How do you approach that as an actor?
I think that it's not something that is to be completely abandoned. They say, you know, it kind of comes with baggage, but I don't really think it's necessarily, like, good or bad baggage. I think that it's something that's there that I think that it's good to give credit to and to take into account. And there's so much history of the character already kind of written in for you. So it's kind of fun to really dig back into the history of the comic strip and then, of course, the TV show and all that and kind of bring that in for yourself, but don't. You kind of have to also at that same time let that that past kind of create a sort of a new character for you that so you don't become like a I guess just a caricature of what you think you know, Charlie Brown was in the cartoon or any of that kind of stuff because so, these are new kids in a way it's kind of like a they have just kind of like a film over them in a way that, that suggests the old characters.
Well, I wonder about, and Hillary, did you grow up reading the Peanuts strip? Was that an important strip for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I definitely did. I can remember, you know, watching Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and Charlie Brown Christmas, and so it was so familiar to me, and it made it that much more exciting.
So for you, is this Sally grown up, or is this an entirely new character, and you've got to make these kind of comic references to...
Well, I would definitely agree with Brian in saying that you can't completely let go of that past, because that is a really important part to who the character is. But a lot of, you know, the excitement of it is creating the journey for this new character and really allowing the transformation between the two.
And I think letting those, like, those references just kind of stand there, you know, it's not for us to... accentuate or let that stuff, the audience will bring that in and do that themselves.
Exactly.
You know, just let's just live the lives of the character, and they will see that as they watch us. They'll recognize that. We don't have to point that out.
So do you have to kind of put that out of your head, the reference? In other words, saying
yes.
A line as a character,
yes.
And then the audience is going to get that this is...
Yeah.
The audience has the aha moments several times when they recognize who a person is and all of that.
Will you do a scene for us right now?
Sure.
Can you set it up for us?
Yes.
I think this is the scene between CB and his sister toward the end of the piece, after there's been a long journey and a lot of happenings in the play, some fun, some deep, some dark. And it's just the realization at the end with the discussion between CB and his sister.
And do we have to know about any of those particular events? Are they making reference to any in particular here?
Okay. I think it's more about the journey that he's been on.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
Are you okay?
Why does everyone keep asking me that? I'm fine. I'm fine.
I know you didn't mean what you said today.
You're wrong. I did.
I know that you loved him.
Look, I was going through something. Some sort of phase, okay? I don't know what it was, but it's over now, okay? Everything's okay. I'm back to normal. You know, this is a good thing.
I don't believe that.
Would you stop already? Please, look, I'm just trying to move forward.
Look, I know I was a bitch about you two. It stung. That's okay, though. In time, I would have been okay with it. I would have been great with it. We're different, you and me. We're special. We're not like them.
I am like them. I want to be like them.
That's sad. When we were kids, I used to look up to you.
Look, when I was a kid, okay, I was a loser.
No, you weren't. You were great. A little different, but great. Recently, I've seen that quality in you again.
Do you ever feel like you're not a real person? Like you're the product of someone's imagination, right? And you can't think for yourself because you're really just that. You're like a creation, and there's someone laughing at you like every time you fail.
Laugh and the world laughs with you.
I cry and they laugh even harder. Yeah, I know. Do you think I'm gay?
Maybe. Maybe not. You know, I can't keep up with you. Find an identity.
Yeah.
Ryan Burton and Hillary Ahrens performing the role of CB and his sister from the play Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead. The Raleigh Ensemble Players are performing that play tonight through next Saturday. They are here with me along with the managing director of the Raleigh Ensemble Players, Gary Williams. Gary, you know, these issues that they're dealing with, that the play deals with, are certainly things that can be handled and written in other ways. What does it add? It does seem to add the fact of Charlie Brown, the fact that there's this iconic strip, is an important role in this play. It's not just incidental.
I think that's very true. Having the history with the characters, and you see this, and you're more empathetic with them immediately, with what they're going through and the different things. There are many issues in the play. There's bullying, teen violence, partying, drug use, you name it. But it's really very relevant to what's really going on in high schools today, in many cases.
And some of the characters and the way they've evolved, you have to tell us about where Lucy ends up and her
story. Yeah. Well, she is currently incarcerated for pyromania, for setting the little redhead girl's hair on fire. Because she was in love with Charlie, too, so Lucy helped take care of that.
But she has kept her psychiatric practice.
That's true. Yeah. The scene starts with the doctor is in.
Yeah. And the staging is wonderful, and kind of the way that that scene plays itself out, the way she's behind bars, and then that transforms, all wonderful. And the fact is, tiny space, so we're all kind of part of the show, too.
Very much so. We do seat just under 40 people per night, and it's a very environmental seating. You're sitting on the brick wall for Linus's, for Van's scene. You're in the cafeteria. You're in the picnic tables. You're in the classroom. So you're sitting in all the chairs. We have actually school chairs that people sit in as well. And you're never more than, 10 feet from the actors, maybe 15 feet. Sometimes you're 6 inches away from the actors.
You're talking about the evolution of these characters. Is interesting because Charles Schulz himself, I think a lot of people know about his trajectory and how the strip changed over time as he began coping with serious problems. He thought about religion, he thought about psychology as he went through his divorce. That became reflected in his strip. So the strip in a lot of ways did evolve, even though those characters remained pretty much looking the same. I didn't ask you, Brian, if you read the strip growing up and if you ever identified with those characters?
I did. And of course, I used to watch all the cartoons and all the specials. And I always related to Charlie Brown. And when I actually first started acting and stuff like that, just like little dumb little skit, it was like a Charlie Brown Christmas special thing. And it's just kind of funny because I was like 8, 9, 10 years ago now and just kind of thinking how it comes around. But yeah, it seems like Charlie Brown, just the kind of the lovable loser kind of guy that he is in a way. Like he seems to always just kind of end up on the losing side of things. But you just want him to win so bad, He's this lovable quality to
that
him.
That has been his enduring charm through all of the iterations and the themes that have run through that strip. I will say this: that you all dance a heck of a lot better than the cartoon characters.
Thank you.
I never see that dance again. It'll be too soon. The one in the cartoon, you do fine. And there's a nice transformation there. Gary, tell us about this play itself and the writing, the trajectory of the play. Where is it? What do you know about the history of the play?
Well, it was written in 2004. Bert V. Royal actually was a casting director in New York and quit to write this play because he thought he had a gem coming up. So he did that. And it went on to win the best Overall Excellence Award in the New York Fringe Festival in 2004. It's won GLAAD awards. It's won all kinds of awards just for the type of voice that it gives to the characters and to the issues.
Mm-hmm. Hillary, you just graduated from high school. Does performing in a play like this change any of your thoughts about acting?
I mean, it's interesting to be in this play that is about high school, having just come from high school. And it was a lot of fun because when we started the rehearsal process, I was still in high school. So it was sort of a joke between everyone, like, oh, yeah, you can tell us if this is real or not. And, So, thinking about it, it really speaks to the high school experience. Yeah, maybe some of it is exaggerated. Maybe we haven't dealt with all these issues, but I think that the characters, it's a pretty real vision of what it is. So,
and Brian, you're not too far away from high school. Not
too far
these
away,
issues
no.
Still resonate with you a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that it kind of, in a way, I see a lot of these same kind of crazy characters even in college. I mean, it's not like it changes. It's not like, you just go through a door and it's like, I'm a different person. It's very present. I think it's a very important thing that this play addresses throughout the scenes.
Well, and it talks too, Gary, about the power of art to really get us to sit down and think about these things, and not just think and talk about them, but actually transform our ideas. I mean, you think creatively what's happening here. You've seen the strip your whole life, whoever you are and wherever you're from, and now we've reconstituted it, and so we're making you think about the characters in a new way. And in the meantime, we've got some issues you'd like to consider as well. I mean, this speaks to the power of art.
It truly does, and that's one thing that we try and do at REP a lot, is just be thought-provocative. We don't do the just easy pieces. We always try and do... our motto is risk all and fail boldly. Thankfully, we haven't had many failures.
You're succeeding
we're doing
wildly
great.
With this play. And then we should talk about some of the other characters, too, because Linus, there's a kind of, I think, an oblique reference to Keith Richards in this, in that he...
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It came to mind immediately for me, but then that's where I am. You know?
Right.
But we should now explain for our audience who's wondering what the heck we're talking about.
Van is still the philosopher, but he does it sometimes from a pot-induced haze.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to punish him, I guess we're not giving away too much, but Charlie and the cohorts burned the blanket. And Van ended up smoking it. So it's always part of him.
Smoked his blanket.
That's
Richards,
right.
For those of you, you remember he smoked his father. I don't know if that's true. He said he did, but he may have been in a smoke-induced haze.
Exactly.
So now when you go back and read the strip, can you read it the same way? Are they the same characters for you when you read this?
I think so, because it's like a different age in them. It's a different time for them in a way. I think it's kind of like looking back on memories of like a younger time in either like your own life or another life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still the way that it was. It's just now, years later, this is the way that it becomes, I guess, in our version, at least. You know.
And it's almost even more fun to look at the
old
stuff.
It's true.
And, you know, I know what you become.
It's not going to end well for you, Woodstock.
Right.
Nice moment in the play when the teacher decides to have that. There's a troubling event. Mm-hmm. And the teacher, like all good high school teachers do, circles up the class and says, let's talk. And she talks in that way.
Okay.
Of course.
That all works well. Do you imagine their futures? When you're playing these roles, is that any part of preparing for the role? Kind of, how is it going to end up for these guys? They're in high school now, but where next?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Because I mean, we had to consider transformation over time for sure with these characters, given the past that we have. So I think that it's kind of interesting to see by the end of the play where they end up. You can kind of, assume for yourself. I know, the different actors, probably have different views on where they're going to end up, but I think it's very, very possible and very visible. Yeah.
And I think a lot of the play, it's so much about transformation, and that's been a challenge with the play because a big part of it is that each character goes through this arc, and so not playing the arc at the end and not anticipating that ending has been something that we've all... been working on and really taking each scene and each moment and living it as it's in the present as a character trying to navigate through. So
great play, a lot of fun. Go see it. Thanks so much for being with us today. Hilary Ahrens and Brian Burton, both actors in the play Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead. Gary Williams, Managing Director of the Raleigh Ensemble Players. Play on stage at Raleigh Ensemble Players from tonight through next Saturday night. Go to realtheater.org. For more information, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Holy Ghost Tent Revival is next. Hang on to your seats. Stay tuned.